Hi, and welcome to another episode here on Do the Cure. This is podcast episode 15, and it's perfect timing to discuss intermittent fasting and extended water fasting, since I'm coming out of a water fast this week. Well, at least I gave it my best attempt this week. And we're going to go into that a little bit down the road here on this podcast. And it might be a little lengthy because there is a lot of material that I'd like to share conceptually. Remember, I'm not a scientist. I don't like scientists. Not scientists. I prefer art myself. I prefer beauty over science. Not that I don't appreciate those. Actually, I greatly appreciate people who love science, who love to read critical data all day and find it exciting. That isn't my thing. So I guess use my appreciation for scientists and first or second generation journalists to dig up some information to share with you and then add my own artistic expression into it. Remember, life is an artistic expression. Nobody can really scientifically prove love. They certainly can't prove the flavor of strawberry until you experience it, right? Since everybody's going to have a different opinion or experience about what a strawberry might taste like. And then, of course, there's different varieties of strawberries. So life for me is an artistic expression. And intermittent fasting and extended water fasting have huge benefits on our well-being. Yet we have to remember there is a science behind it. However, the artistic application in your life is very important, way more important than the science in some ways. But we might need the science behind it to get our monkey mind on board with the idea of intermittent fasting and extended water fasting. We have to kind of sell it to our ego. Yeah. Didn't take much for me to be sold on it 3 or 4 years ago when I started to practice this. Remember, it's an artistic endeavor, which means it is a practice. I'm saying that very clearly, a practice. We practice life every day. That's what we're here to do. That's what I'm here to do. You'll probably hear me on the microphone here. You'll probably be in recorded. That I'm flipping the pages of my notes that I have. So, yes, doing my diligent work here. So, thank you again for everybody who's listening in again on this podcast. This is Do the Cure. I'm Dan Hegerich, optimal life coach and lover of life and all things in life. And this week I did practice my 5 days of water fasting, but I modified it a little bit because of some hiccups along the road. So let's get into it. I have some books that I'm going to put in the description that will help you along, and you can Google their names. You can go to YouTube and find them on YouTube for some useful videos. And I will leave those books listed in the description below. The first one, on intermittent fasting, one person comes to mind that really opened this up, who was Jason Fung, F-U-N-G. And he wrote the book, The Obesity Code. And he lays out intermittent fasting. And really, let me just sum it up. He's just saying, eat less often. We need to give our digestive system, our nervous system, our hormonal system. We need to give our bodies time out. In Chinese medicine, the organs that are hollow are yang organs. And yang organs are those organs that need to be active and rest. Those organs are the stomach, small intestine, large intestine, the bladder, and I'm missing one, it'll call, gallbladder. There you go. There's five. And then contrary to that on the other side is the complementary yin organs, which are always active. They hardly ever rest. Kind of sounds familiar for a lot of women out there, right? They just don't stop. What are those organs? The heart, the liver, the lungs, the spleen, and here's one, the kidneys. I think I said that. So there's five. So with that in mind, our digestive system has a lot to do with the hollow organs or the yang organs. So we eat something and we need to give ample time for those organs to rest. So Jason Fung says, eat less often. Not necessarily eating less food, but eating less often. And what intermittent fasting is giving yourself a long enough window for a good digestive rest. And in general, he wants to suggest that you start with giving your body about a 14-hour window of rest or a 10-hour window of consuming your food. What would that look like for you? I don't know, but let's just use some simple numbers. Let's say you get up at 6 in the morning and you eat something. Then you eat until 4 o'clock the next day, that afternoon, and then you stop eating until 6 a.m. the next day. That's a 14-hour eating window. Right? You might go from 10 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. Whatever, 14-hour window for resting those digestive organs and 10-hour window for eating. In that 10 hours, you have three meals and no snacking. This is important. If you want to improve your metabolic function, then this is vital, no snacking. Now, let me back up a little bit and preface this. The whole idea of intermittent fasting and extended water fast is one of the major benefits is to heal your metabolic system, to be able to burn and utilize fat as a primary fuel source rather than utilizing glucose full time, full stop, as your primary fuel source. Why? Glucose is a very hot burning fuel source. It burns really rapidly and fast. While the fats or ketones produced from fats, they actually burn very slow and steady. Carbohydrates or glucose actually stimulates a surge of insulin response. And insulin actually is a stress response in many ways and turns off the immune system. It stimulates cortisol. So now you can be in a stress response. And if you're doing that all day, eating sugars and carbohydrates all day, at every meal, at every opportunity to eat something, then you're putting yourself in a constant fight or flight potentially. But utilizing or getting your metabolism to burn fat as a primary fuel source, you're going to be more steady. That means your mood swings aren't going to be there. So we'll get into benefits along the way here. I just wanted to open that up, that this is about restoring metabolic function, because most of our chronic degenerative diseases of today have metabolic dysregulation as an etiology. So in the book, The Obesity Code, he basically says, eat less often, not necessarily less food. No snacking in the time that you're eating, and eat 3 square meals a day, and sit down and have a comfortable, stress-free meal. Now, if you can't do that, if that will be hard for you to do, then you already know you have some sort of metabolic injury. And if you had an injury to your foot, you wouldn't be walking that well, so you're not going to go out and keep running or jogging. So you're going to have to take time for that foot to heal to go back to your normal day activities. And just like your metabolic injury, you're going to need some metabolic rehabilitation so that your energy system can be rehabilitated and function normally. So you're going to have to do things in the rehabilitation phase before you can get up and start running with it. And when we do rehabilitation, I don't know if you've ever been to physical therapy, it's not that pleasant. But the rewards are endless, right? So when you put your effort into good physical therapy and reconditioning the injury, you often come back stronger. And that's what we're trying to talk about. Intermittent fasting and extended water fasts are meant to make us become stronger, become better at life. Remember, life is a practice. It's an artistic expression. We become better at our art, or the art of living. So Jason is really big on expressing that insulin and cortisol are the two main players here. And as you know, insulin is a hormone produced by the pancreas in response to consuming carbohydrates and sugars. Doesn't matter what carbohydrate you eat. I don't care how good it is. The body's still going to produce a certain amount of insulin in response to carbohydrates. And the higher amount of carbohydrates you eat in one meal or at one time, the higher that insulin surge or that spike. And it's that spike, the higher it is, the more detrimental it is to your metabolic system and your overall well-being. Because it will stimulate cortisol and shut your immune system down. You don't believe me? Just give some kid a can of soda. Give a 5-year-old a nice big can of Coca-Cola and watch him go off the wall. You might think he's having his terrible twos or his tantrums. No, he has just had, a toxic load of sugar put into his bloodstream. And now he has to deal with it. He's under stress. At first, he might seem excited and high and extroverted and funny. Sure. But then the crash. So that's the obesity code in a nutshell. Is basically he's telling you intermittent fasting is to extend the window of time you give those yang organs of digestion and body a rest. You can go with a 10-hour eating window and a 14-hour rest window, a fasting window. And the longer that rest period, the more you start to get the benefits of intermittent fasting. So if you can go to 16 hours of rest between eating and an 8-hour window of eating, then to up to an 18-hour window and practice that with a 6-hour eating window. He even amps it up by saying you might go 24 hours or have one meal in the day and then the next day go back to eating, whatever, 3 meals and start the varying your diet strategy to meet your needs and goals. And another warning he presents is the consumption of fructose, especially in the form of high fructose corn syrups or agave syrup or any of these syrups that are, might be considered natural and healthy because they have a lot of fructose compared to glucose, and fructose doesn't raise your insulin as much. He says there's a real dark side to this because fructose cannot be metabolized in our cells with the exception of the liver. So it's the liver cells that metabolizes fructose. And all X-fructose consumed beyond the ability for the liver to metabolize it effectively and efficiently will be converted into fat within the liver, contributing to fatty liver disease, which sets the environment or the stage for insulin resistance. So it's kind of a backdoor way to becoming insulin resistant. This is also true if you eat a tremendous amount of fruit, especially our modern fruits and our sweet fruits. Not only that, fructose has a very high rate of glycation. What is glycation? I don't know the depth of science about it, but essentially when you're utilizing sugars as a fuel source, advanced glycation end products are formed, and they have the acronym AGE because they do age you. And they create a stickiness in the blood, and they cross-link with proteins. So that may lead to a viscous blood. It might lead to poor circulation. It could lead to poor protein utilization. So let's also consider doing some research on fructose metabolism or the ingestion of excess fruit. And that's for your personal artistic expression. How much fruit can I really eat? I don't eat a lot of fruit at all, especially in the winters here in the Northeast. In the summer, I will indulge in the berry season and the watermelon season. I think those are my two favorites for the summer. And I'm mindful to make sure I give my body plenty of intermittent fasting with fruits. So I don't eat them every day, but I'll eat them every couple of days and make sure that I get a good, you know, 18-hour fasting to let my body recover. And then I can really enjoy my fruit in the summer. But in the winter, I don't eat that much fruit. I might have a date or two, a medjool date, one or two, a couple times a week. That's about it. So go ahead and, if you're really interested in diving deeper into Dr. Jason Fung's take on intermittent fasting, go ahead and get the book, The Obesity Code, or just go to YouTube and find him on YouTube and he'll explain it all there for you. But it is about controlling your insulin response. In a class I took, there were people saying that if you have metabolic injury and you need metabolic rehab, your insulin should not spike, your blood glucose should not spike more than 10 points from the start of your meal. So if you eat a meal, you measure your glucose before the meal, you eat, and then about 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, you measure it again. And you want to find how high your glucose goes. You don't want it to go more than 10 points. This is why snacking is not so good for your metabolism as well, or your metabolic function, is because every time you eat something, you're going to get a little insulin spike. And as I said before, those spikes can be problematic depending on how you're living your life. For some people, an insulin spike once a day is really good if they're, you know, strength training and power training. They're going to need that boost to repair and rejuvenate the muscles that they've been using in their activity. But if you're fairly sedentary, lightly active, it's not as necessary. So moving on, we have another book that's awesome. Nora Gedgaudas has become a rock star in the paleo community and ancestral health community with her work, Primal Body, Primal Mind, with other books also. But her big thing is leptin. Her big message is leptin, because leptin is the primary purpose of, well, the primary purpose of leptin is to coordinate the metabolic, endocrine, and behavioral response to starvation, which of course is as fundamental to survival, which is our number one priority as it gets. Remember, survival is so powerful to our human experience. Everything is secondary to survival. Survival trumps real personal growth or spiritual development. You ever heard the term a person's in survival mode? Well, the majority of our population on the planet is in survival mode and they don't know it. It might be masked by material success, but their metabolism, their metabolic function might be screaming survival. I have a quote from Nora's book, Primal Body, Primal Mind. Fat to humans means survival to our physiological functioning. Diets low in fat paradoxically cause the body to more easily synthesize fat from other sources, most notably carbohydrates, and to absorb and store this unwanted fat. In other words, if you don't have enough fat in your body, it's going to really become good at converting the carbohydrates into fat. And if it's too much for the body to utilize in that moment, it's going to store it as fat somewhere in the body. Therefore, I continue with her quote, diets high in carbohydrates trigger a master hormone, leptin, to become severely dysregulated. Blood sugar surges lead to leptin surges and ultimately to leptin resistance in the brain, in which leptin signaling is no longer effectively heard by the brain. This sends a strong message of starvation to the hypothalamus, which then reacts promptly with increases in appetite or cravings and inspires unhealthy binge eating, predominantly more carbohydrates. That is why when people are overweight or obese, they are in metabolic survival mode. Their body cells are starving. They're starving. And I don't know, we need to extend some compassion out there because they just don't know. They have a metabolic injury. And they need to go through metabolic rehabilitation. And it's not pleasant to go through rehabilitation of anything. It's physically draining. You have to enter the pain and discomforts until eventually, at some point, the pain starts to subside and we start to heal. This metabolic pathway of changing or shifting our metabolism from utilizing carbohydrates / sugar, glucose as our primary fuel into our ability to utilize ketones as a primary source of our fuel is essentially our primal body. It's our ancestral body function. Carbohydrates were backup sources of food for times when we couldn't hunt a big fatty animal. Or as Paul Saladino would call it, pretty much survival food. Not thriving food. Remember, they're two different things. Survival mode will always trump thriving. So Nora really lays it out a magic, just, I don't even know how to give her the compliment that it deserves, her book. The same with The Obesity Code, both those books. She did a tremendous amount of research and work from her scientific mind that I appreciate so much, because I'm more on the artistic side, as I mentioned in the opening of this podcast. So yes, we do need science and art, the art of living and the science of living, but each of us has sort of a natural tendency to be more on the artistic side or on the scientific side or the academic side. I'm on the creative side rather than on the academic side so much. It doesn't mean I love learning. Don't get me wrong. That's certainly a virtue I hold dear. But I like to learn from people who love to do what they do while I can do what I love to do. There's a notable mention for another book with regards to this whole notion of low carbohydrates in your dietary principle here, The Art and Science of Low Carbohydrate Living. That's by Jeff Volek and Stephen Finney. And they're all about nutritional ketosis. And yes, the whole idea is to rehabilitate our metabolic system and our cells to utilize ketones, which are produced from burning fat, as our major fuel source, because the benefits are amazing. And I'll get into them, so hang in there with me. Yet, we also know Peter Attia's work, A-T-I-A, I think, his work also revolves around ketosis, but also once you're rehabilitated and your body can utilize these ketones and you're burning and utilizing fat as a fuel source primarily, then you want to become very efficient and effective at it, but you also want to remain flexible in your metabolism so that you can also utilize sugars or glucose to perform strength training and power training or other things that are, interest you, whether you're downhill ski and you want to hit the weekend hard on your mountain bike, you will require the use of some sugar or glucose. However, the more adapted you are to ketones as a fuel source, the more you'll spare the use of glucose in your activity. So you won't need as much of that to perform your high activities. So that's another book for you to take a look at if you're interested in the science, because these guys are heavy into the labs. That's what laboratory settings and applying nutritional ketosis for human performance, metabolic rehabilitation, cancer, for heart disease, like I said, those chronic degenerative diseases of modern living, which point towards, we all have a certain amount of metabolic injury. I know I do, and I'm into this. So I continue to artistically practice it so I can become healthier as I get older. What a novel idea. So intermittent fasting, as a summary, is just considering giving yourself a window of time that you're going to eat food and a longer window of time that you rest your digestive system. And you get to play with your strategies on how you're going to apply that. And the key takeaway that all three of those books that I mentioned is no snacking. You have a meal, and then you're done. And then 30 minutes later, you start to sip water if you're thirsty. And then you wait to your next meal. And if you cannot do that, and you are craving a snack, then you have to take a look at what you ate for your meal. And secondly, consider you probably have a pretty strong metabolic injury. Just laying out some concepts for you folks so that you can navigate your life. And if you're like me and want to live healthy longer, then you might take these to heart. And we'll move into extended water-only fasting, which means you might start to go 2, 3, 5 days, maybe 7, 10 days drinking only water. And again, I advise if you consider this, that you think about preparing your body first. Remember, with any kind of thing that you're going to make changes, there's always a preparatory phase. So you might spend quite a bit of time preparing yourself to go into intermittent fasting, which means you might do a little bit of reading, some YouTube videos on it. You might start looking at your pantry and your refrigerator to start accessing foods that would be beneficial for it. You might start to get rid of things that are addictive to you. Because we certainly know that things like smoking, drinking coffee excessively, or caffeinated beverages and alcohol can really be an inhibiting factor in making your metabolic rehabilitation a success. So you want to prepare, and then you go into your intermittent fasting, or in this case, we're talking about extended water fasting, and that's during phase. So you have a preparatory phase, a during phase, and then a post phase, a post fasting phase, which is what I'm going to be starting today. And Dr. Daniel Pompa lays this out perfectly in the book called Beyond Fasting. Absolutely awesome. He wants people to go into an extended water fast for 5 days because the science behind it proves that that's a great place to start with maximizing the benefits of water fasting without going too deeper into potential side effects of extended water fasts. So it's pretty much scientifically proven that at day 5 of no just having water, that your stem cells become incredibly active and abundant stem cells. And along the way, he is big on autophagy, which is cellular recycling. So it's your own body's way to actually heal itself. It's going to go after any dead, dying, and weak cells. And the body's innate wisdom is going to look at all those cells and go, what parts can I take and recycle? And what parts do I have to eliminate from the body? Dead, dying, and sick cells. And the body's wisdom knows what to do with it. And so during this 5-day water fasting, you can go into a deep state of autophagy. And another way to say that is a deep state of nutritional ketosis. So we want to maximize our autophagy, recycle, get rid of something that's no longer really serving us, and we want to maximize cell production and human growth hormone because that's the renewal phase. So post 5-day water fast is the start of the renewal phase where cells are going to start to grow healthier. They're going to divide healthier. And build back up better than you were before. So he wants, in his book, Beyond Fasting, he wants us to prepare the body with intermittent fasting, as I mentioned previously, for 5 weeks or so. So you can get into a ketogenic state with mixing in diet variety, mixing up your diet a little bit during the week, where you might have your intermittent fasting might be, you know, up to 18 hours and 6 hours feeding. Then he wants you to actually do a 24-hour fast, having one meal. And then the next day, have a slightly feast meal where you eat a little bit more. But you want to eat so that you can actually start to stay in a relative state of ketosis so that the water fast will be way more successful. So it won't be such a shock to your body, which a lot of people, they like to do that, right? They want to shock themselves and use their willpower. And oftentimes that messes us up and it actually sets us back rather than propels us forward. I'm speaking from personal experience, so I am a master at doing some of that. And that's why I'll give you my example of my water fast this week. So the whole idea is to get fat adapted. And if your brain is not well adapted to utilizing ketones, which is the preferred fuel for your brain, people say glucose, but some of the scientists that I just mentioned say that ketones are the preferred fuel for the brain. And if your brain is not well adapted, then your sleep will be impaired during the water fast. That's me. I don't sleep that well. Or a combination that there is neurotoxicity in the brain and nerves that needs to be addressed through appropriate cellular detoxification to get the toxins out of the cells that are lodged in the brain. So if you want to learn more, you can actually go to YouTube and Dr. Dan Pomper. You Google that and you type in Beyond Fasting or anything to do with fasting. Also, there is a Facebook group called Fasting for a Purpose, where you can get lots and lots of encouragement and support from the group. There's probably over 10,000 people on that membership. And the stories are astounding. They're astounding of the success that people are having on it. So let's just wrap up some benefits here. The benefit is metabolic rehabilitation. So you could become metabolically flexible and utilize ketones as your primary fuel source very efficiently and effectively. And you can access and utilize glucose as necessary, often in a response to an emergency, to a stressful period of life, and during your weekend yaha, you know, mountain biking, skiing, or your strength training and power training goals. You want to be able to utilize these ketones efficiently in the brain and in your muscles. The benefit here is you can spare glucose utilization and reduce insulin and leptin surges. That calms the nervous system down and the hormonal system down, which is referred to as your generative system or your ability to regenerate. Hence, you can age gracefully and powerfully and with vitality and begin to reduce or eliminate your risks for chronic degenerative diseases. A 5-day water fast can increase your insulin sensitivity and reduce insulin resistance. And the same goes for leptin, the master hormone. You can reset your gut health and your microbiome and support sealing and healing your gut lining and your immune system, especially post-fasting phase. You can strengthen your willpower. It's anti-aging and extends vitality and health into old age. That's what I mean by aging with power and grace. Prevention for chronic degenerative diseases such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, neurological illnesses such as Parkinson, which is being marked as type 3 diabetes, meaning you're having insulin and glucose problems in the brain and ketone problems in the brain. This is why when people go on a ketogenic diet on Parkinson's, their symptoms start to become less. So your intermittent fasting and especially your extended water fasting creates a hormesis response or a hormesis stress response. This is a natural stressor to the body that actually strengthens your adaptation, your ability to adapt, rather than your continued compensations, which creates a spiraling downward of your health over time, rather than the ability to adapt, creates your ability to live longer, healthier, with more power and grace. The fasting fights inflammation. You want to turn down inflammation, fasting. Even intermittent fasting will do it. But the 5-day water fasting does it even better, or more profoundly. So you can improve your blood pressure, improve your triglyceride totals. And as you practice this, remember it's a practice, then your brain function will become better because it helps to heal your brain and help with your brain grow more nerves. Sounds like a good idea. It can aid in weight loss. And because it's rehabilitating your metabolism, it boosts your metabolism. At the end of fasting, the growth hormones are secreted, which on the post phase of your fasting, that means it's vital for growth and metabolism. It also helps with muscle strength. And, of course, fasting and nutritional ketosis is being really studied and utilized for cancer patients. So if you're curious about this, some of the things you might want to consider for supporting you in that endeavor, other than your own investigation through what I mentioned before, just going to YouTube and absolutely starting to prepare your mind to consider it, especially intermittent fasting, and then maybe challenging yourself to go into a longer fasting periods. Some of the things you might consider for support is get a fasting coach, get a fasting mentor. You might also require a detoxification coach or mentor. And I certainly can help you with those because that's how I live. And that's what I love to do. And if you are engaged in some of this, sunlight therapy, spending time in the sun, fire therapy, spending time with a fire alone, near infrared sauna therapy. So if you're in the fasting phase and having some difficulties, then these are modalities that can help you move through that discomfort. Warm mineral baths, plenty of rest, meditation, play games, laugh. Certainly light movement and low intense exercise is very important to keep the body fluids and moving and the lymphatic system circulating. Big key here is avoid digital screens, smartphone, television, computer screens. You want to really eliminate those as much as you can because they stimulate a stress response in the body and it can make your rehabilitation, metabolically speaking, a little bit more challenging. So this was a real fast overview, conceptually, of intermittent fasting, which means eat less often rather than eating less initially, to give your body's digestive system a break and instigate the rest and digest system. And after about 16 hours, autophagy can start, depending on your body's ability to burn fat as a fuel source. It takes mine about 24 hours to get into a ketogenic state, maybe sometimes 36 hours. And then I drop right into ketosis. And that's what happened this week, right? So about 36 hours in, and I went right into a nutritional ketosis state. And it can be measured by a blood glucose and ketone monitor called the Keto Mojo, which is what I use. I don't know if there's others out there, but that one's seems to be accurate and the least expensive. And when you measure it, you can actually get what's called a ketone index, which states that if you're anywhere from 2 to 3 ketone index, you're in a pretty good state of nutritional ketosis. And if you're at 1 or below, that's where they want you for cancer patients. And I was teetering on 1 to 1.5 this week. It's not bad. It's a good practice. And because I was having some difficulties with my sleep, I decided that during this water fast, I decided to have a little bit of raw butter each morning, which seemed to help a little bit, especially towards day 4, where I finally got reasonable sleep. That was last night. So be sure to consider that you can modify fasting to meet your needs, because this is a practice and it is metabolic rehabilitation. And when you're in any kind of rehabilitation, whether it's a physical rehabilitation, emotional rehabilitation, such as grieving or mourning the loss of a loved one, or in this case, cellular energy, then self-compassion is suggested. And I'm saying that to you as a way to hear my own echo and remind me to remind myself to be self-compassionate towards myself as I enter into the post phase of my fasting. Perhaps there'll be more details to come in a future podcast, but for right now, I just want to share concepts. Why? Because the concepts are where it starts. You have to wrap yourself around the concepts before you get into specificity. So if any of these things resonate true for you, well, now you can obviously go out there in the world and find plenty of resources to get more specific for your needs. This is Dan Hegrich. This is Do the Cure podcast. Always, always, always trying to do my best to make your life healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than it was yesterday, so that we can work together with my vision to eradicate chronic degenerative disease as part of the human experience. It's not that if we can do it, it's a matter of if we will do it. Power and grace.